any guests around, so therefore we'll call the meeting to order, and Mr. Dyczek has agreed to give us our invocation for today.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for the good friends and good colleagues that we have here today and the wonderful meal that we just ate. Help us to make good decisions and wise decisions for Howard College, which is near and dear to all our hearts, and make sure that we give the best possible advice to the administration about things going forward. And we pray in your name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Okay. Required by state law, this meeting is open to the public by telephonic communications. The company, the college, is complying with suspended proceedings of the Open Meetings Act in accordance with Section 418.016 of the Texas Government Code. Members of the public are entitled to participate in the meeting and may attend in person or through remote connection. Anyone that has anything to say? I don't see anyone. Therefore, at this time, the board will hear comments and questions from individuals who have not requested a specific place on the agenda and want to address the board. Again, I don't see anyone who wants to do that. So at this time, we'll go on to our regular agenda, which agenda item number one would be the routine matters. You've all had a chance, I think, to read those on your laptops and publications, so therefore I would entertain a motion to approve those.
So move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Need one more. Aye. Motion passes. Thank you. No unfinished business, so we'll move on to agenda number five, which is new business, visiting and future direction.
All right, Mr. Chairman and board members, this is number 36 on the COVID-19 response status, and we do anticipate that we're coming near the end of the requirement to keep in this reporting status as it relates to an altered operations. And so we're also getting to a point that Cindy is not going to be able to get any information from the state website. We've been able to keep up with things on a monthly basis to be able to report to you in this document, but it's changing. And again, I think that is just another indication of the fact that the state is beginning to transition into a time when COVID-19 is just part of what we experience. And so what you do find in this particular month's report is mainly that Brenda continues and team continues to do a lot of reporting. And so there continue to be requirements at both the federal and state level as far as what we are supposed to do relative to reporting. In June, the particular grant that we have, this amount of money is to be expended. However, we can ask for an extension of that and may end up needing to do that based on the final project that we intend to do with this money. We'll talk about that a little bit in just a second. But other than that, really, we are trying to be normal. And so that would be the only report on that today.
Good. Thank you. All right. Our next item is the naming of the Big Spring Refinery Ballpark, Jack Barber Field.
All right. As we all know, we lost John Weeks back at the end of October, and that was sudden to all of us and something, of course, a big loss to the community of Big Spring, and obviously a big loss to Howard College because of the role that John has always played at Howard College. He has literally been the voice of Howard College baseball for years and years, decades, literally. So in honor of John, we would like to recommend that we name the press box that is located at Jack Barber Field as a part of Big Spring Refinery Ballpark after John Weeks. That is according to board policy, that would be appropriate.
So do we need a motion to approve that?
Yes, sir.
I have a motion to approve it.
I'll make a motion.
I have a motion. I have a second.
I'll second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Thank you. Motion passes. Yeah, he was a great guy. I miss him a lot. All right. Okay. Move on to item C, which is named especially after Anthony Hunt Library.
All right. You will be hearing an update today from Terry on the progress that's being made at both the Anthony Hunt Library as well as the music building. And as you know, we have two donors that gave significant support to the renovation in the library, in the Anthony Hunt Library. When the library was built years ago, it was named after Dr. Hunt, and so following your policy, of course, that continues. But within that space, there are going to be two new areas. One will be a teaching and learning center, and one will be a reading nook. Now, the two donors that are behind that support are the G.C. Broughton Junior Foundation, as well as the Maria Hogue Estate. And so we are recommending, after conversation with the individuals involved, that the Teaching and Learning Center be named after educator Jean Broughton, as a part of when she was as an educator in this community. And then the Reading Nook be named after Maria Hogue. The G.C. Broughton Foundation, again, gave a significant amount to the renovation of the library space, as well as the Maria Hogue Estate. So those would be the recommendations on that space.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve those changes?
So moved.
Motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Motion carries. Thank you.
Mr. Chairman, for the record,
yes, ma'am.
I have a text that Raul has been able to join us, so he's on the line, and he's online, and also I hear Adrian.
Yeah, I thought I heard Adrian, but I didn't hear Raul.
Yeah, Raul just joined. And Adrian, that was you, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
All right.
So note. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Next item on the resolution for Lloyd Curley.
All right. Again, we're very blessed that a gentleman by the name of Lloyd Curley has given a significant gift to our SWID campus. And Mr. Curley grew up in Howard County, Big Spring, Texas, graduated from Big Spring High School, actually attended Howard College. And then he went on to become a very successful CPA, accountant himself. And Mr. Curley is deaf, and he has been very interested in what has been happening at the Southwest College for the Deaf for years and years, and he reached out to us and was interested in doing something for SWID. And so this resolution is in recognition and honor of Mr. Curley's gift to SWID. What we would like to be able to do after your approval of the resolution, which when we have our focus meetings in the one for the SWID campus will be in October, we're going to see if Mr. Curley can attend, and you can formally give it to him at that point. But we wanted to go ahead and get your approval today so that we could start that process of visiting with him to see if we can get him to come to Big Spring. He lives in El Paso at the current time.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve this?
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you. All right. Big Spring regular meeting, November 13th, Big Spring Campus Focus.
All right. Mr. Chairman, if you would like for me to, I can handle all the special regular meeting information, and then we can go back to the posthumous degree award. But as a part of your self-evaluation and your vision and things that you wanted to do going forward, as you know, as a board, you talked about that you would like to have the opportunity to have what we're calling focus meetings on our four different sites. And as you know, we talked about that at the last meeting, and since that time have been able to determine the dates that will work for all of you. So the focus meeting for the Big Spring campus will be at your regular meeting on November the 13th. The special meeting, as you know, outside of Howard County, these will be considered special meetings. They will not be regular meetings, not do the normal business at those meetings. And that one will be on November the 1st in La Mesa. And then for San Angelo, we'll have our San Angelo campus focus on June 14th. It'll be a special meeting. Again, we'll focus on that campus. And then the SWID meeting, we can have a regular meeting since it's within Howard County. So it'll be your regular board meeting in October, and it'll be on October the 23rd. And so at each of those meetings, we will take the opportunity to focus on things specific to that campus that we want to bring to your attention. What we generally do, as you know, in board meetings, we tend to have a district focus. We do have some specific campus information, but we tend to mainly focus on the district as a whole. And so this will give us an opportunity to really spotlight different things that are happening at the different campuses. If we have special resolutions, like I just mentioned about Mr. Curley, we'll try to focus on those when they're specific to a campus. And we will start working on the agendas for these meetings immediately. We're already working on the one for the San Angelo campus, and we'll flesh that out and complete that so that we can start inviting people in the San Angelo community that will be you will be able to present resolutions and celebrate what they have done for the campus in San Angelo. So that's mainly informational to let you know that that you all could agree on those dates, and so we're going to be planning that direction. So, Mr. Chairman, the only thing you need to do in that section is go back to the posthumous degree award. That will be for the San Angelo campus.
Okay. Have a motion to approve that.
Let me go ahead and let me flesh that out a little bit more for you.
Please do.
Unfortunately, in the fall, we lost one of our graduates that was going to graduate in December. And her name is Christy Phelan. Christy was due to earn her Associate of Science in Business when she passed away. She began her studies at Howard College in fall of 2008 and completed her certificate level 1 in cosmetology in December of 2009. She returned to Howard after some time away in the spring of 2021 and was going to be on December 14th, 2021, she earned her certificate level 1 as a cosmetology instructor, graduating ipsa cum laude, continued studying, and then she was going to in May of 22 she got her Associate of Applied Science in Cosmetology, but she didn't stop. That was in May of 22. She changed her major, continued her pursuit of an Associate of Science in Business, and was going to graduate with us again in the fall of 22, and then was going to go on to Angelo State University and complete her bachelor's degree that she had started several years ago. She had hopes of opening her own salon, and she was also raising her three children, a single mom. She was very driven, and so we feel it's very fitting for this degree to be awarded to her. We felt it was best to wait until May due to the fact that it all happened right around that same time, and we know that her children will be very honored to be able to accept that on her behalf. So we recommend this posthumous degree.
I have a motion to approve this.
So move.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
I have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Carries. Thank you. All right. Moving on to performance measures outcomes.
Okay. Today, we only have things in the area of the student success and performance excellence, and the first one would be on the recap of the Data Summit. And as Brian is coming forward, I thought it would be appropriate to say something about Roger Klein's. That was probably one of the last things. No, I'm sorry, it wasn't the data summit he was at. I was thinking about the Howard County summit. But anyway, I'll go ahead and say it anyway. Roger Klein is not with us today. We all know that he passed away unexpectedly, and his service was this morning, and we all mourn with the family, and he was a great servant for Big Spring, Texas, and we certainly miss him today at this meeting, so sorry about that.
Just want to give you an update on the data summit. We had our Howard College data summit back on March 31st. We closed our offices to the public and moved the call to have this data summit. It was from we went from 9 o'clock to 2 o'clock for all of our students or for all our faculty and staff to meet. We started at 9 o'clock and went to about 10:30 on a general session. And then from 10:30 to 2, we had groups meeting to work on various data projects that they were assigned. And then they returned information back to me that I'm currently processing and getting ready for what we're going to be doing moving forward, and also preparing for the data summit that we are going to have in the fall, which I'll go into more detail about that here in a minute. We had over 273 unique participants in our general session. We kicked it off kind of really going over, you know, we're already getting ready for our SAC reaffirmation, even though we're 3 years out, we're already looking at that coming up ahead. But I think the more important thing is we talked about student success, and it's important, you know, both in helping our students to be successful, and as well as, you know, ways that this could help us with our funding moving forward. The rest of the day, we broke out into different groups. There was the academic group. That was our faculty meeting. They met by department. And then we also had student services, financial aid, all them meetings and groups. And we had college services. That'd be like your HR, your IT, your safety and security throughout the whole day. Overall, consensus what people really liked, what we did. We gave them time to talk and, you know, talk between campuses, talk between groups to really figure out what's kind of going on, kind of take a breath, look at the data that was coming in. We looked at a lot of things, whether it was pass rates, whether it was learning outcomes within the classes, whether it was enrollment numbers, and then we also looked at strategic planning units and also preparing for planning units for next year. All these departments submitted back documents to us, or to me. We had over 400 so far documents returned back. I'm going through each of those right now. There's a lot of them, but I'm going through seeing what information they put. We'll be working on that with that information in cabinet to prepare for next year and for what we're finishing up this year, and hopefully share that information about how we're improving Howard College in all those various areas. This seems to be pretty successful in terms of us getting a stop and look at the information that we did back in fall 22 to help them plan for next year. We are going to meet again at the data summit in the fall to go over spring information and then also reiterate what we learned from fall so we can be better at our fall 2023 numbers moving forward. So far, tentatively, we scheduled that for September 8th, which would be a Friday. Hopefully we can stick to that date, but that may change depending on what comes up on the schedule. And we will hopefully, you know, build this into a semester occurrence. Again, hopefully build that continuous loop of assessment and then and continuous improvement into our different areas of the semester. And that's all I have in terms of the update from the data. You may have any questions? Anything you want to add?
No. Thank you. Appreciate it. Well, I will add this. Brian did a great job on that first one. He put a lot of work into that, and I think it turned out really, really a very productive day. So, and it's going to make a difference going forward. We'll talk about some of the legislation. That is a big part of what we're going to be talking about going forward.
All right. Thank you. Okay, you know, anything on community development?
No, sir.
Performance and excellence.
Yes, sir. As you all know, we have student roundtables each semester, and we share the document that we basically it is the completed, but it is a temporary or interim report back to basically the students as far as what we work on as a result of the roundtables. The roundtables are held on all four campuses, and we also have a virtual roundtable because of the fact that some of our students never come to campus because they're totally online, virtual students, and we want to give them an opportunity to share any feedback. And that actually came from some of our online students, the reason we started having the virtual. And then it also serves well for those students that just have a hard time making the roundtables that are scheduled. And so we had all five of these in the last 6 weeks or so for the different campuses. What you have in your report are the concerns that the students brought up, and then what we do after each of the roundtables, we immediately, the administrator for that particular campus will gather that data or that information and begin to send it out to parties that will work on the different items that the students brought up. And so that begins to happen immediately. Then after those are assigned, people work on it for a while. We begin to get an answer, and we try in about a month's time generally to post it up then on the website so that the students can read where we are, how we have begun working on the things that they brought forward. Sometimes it takes us several months to be able to continue to work and get something accomplished. By the time we have the next roundtable, because again we have the roundtables in the fall and spring, by the time we get to the next roundtable, which will be in the fall, and those have already been set. In fact, what we're doing is we're scheduling those roundtables to occur prior to when we have the next special focus meetings. And so we're going to be able, whenever we have those meetings, we're going to be able to talk about specifically that campus and what those students were saying. So what you have today are preliminary changes in how we're beginning to change our process up. But in each of the documents that you have, for example, when you look at these, you'll notice that it will be different. The concerns of the students vary by the campus because we have our demographics are different on each of the campuses. And so the concerns that students will bring forward are often different because, again, the demographics will be different for different reasons. For example, when we start with the Vicksburg one, which was the first one, and generally we hold these again at a time that we think will be the best for students, but again we have that virtual roundtable that allows us to pick up any students that couldn't make the events that were scheduled in person so that they can call in, and that does happen. So at the Big Spring roundtable, we had concerns that would be expressed relative to residence hall, things that needed to happen relative to the residence hall, the dining hall, student activities, safety and security, building and maintenance, information technology, and athletics. And again, you're not going to find that on all the campuses. It will vary. So you can read and see the things, and I won't go through every one of these since you've had an opportunity to look at them. But generally what will happen as far as the residence halls, they will make comments about different things. Sometimes it's information that is very specific to a room. We will ask a student to give us, or if they are reporting for a fellow student that's living in the dorm, we will ask for specific room numbers so that we can begin to get back to those and reach out and work on those. And so you see the different things that were brought up relative to the residence halls. And generally that keeps most of the time it has to do with things in the facilities area, and so Fabian and team find themselves busy responding to some of the things that the students have asked for. Some of the things that the students request will be budget items, and we then in the summer, as we're working on the budget, we will enter those requests into the budget and get those approved, hopefully. Generally, it works out. And then that way, when we meet with the students in the fall, we're able to report that what they have right now, we're just showing them we're in process. But in the fall, we'd be able to show them that we completed it. Generally, by then, we'll have whatever example. They were hoping that a new foosball table could be included in the residence hall budget or it could be replaced. And so those are some things that that will happen during the budget time. Dining hall, sometimes that is specific to things they want to eat. We do have on both the SWID and the Big Spring campus, we do have a food service committee, so the students can get very specific with things that they request. Relative to what they have in the dining hall. And so, but generally, something will come up in the round table specific to the dining hall, and then we'll pass that on to food service, but then we also always remind them that we have the food service committee and encourage them to get students to come and express any concerns they might have. And generally, we have a pretty good turnout for when we have the committee meetings for the dining halls. Student activities, you can see that, again, this is going to vary by the campus dependent on what happens, but the Big Spring campus was interested in having a large spring activity instead of smaller events. And so, again, we will respond to those kinds of things and start working on that. Safety and security, we generally will ask them, do you feel safe, secure on the campus? And they will report if there is a specific area of concern. For example, on the Big Spring campus in the fall one, in last spring, they had suggested some areas that needed lighting on the campus. That was accomplished. And basically there was one spot that they were still requesting that we address, and so that's something we'll be working on. Then as far as they also will report different things across campus that we may not be aware of, and sometimes we are aware of it. They're just not aware of what's going on. In particular, there was some work that was going on in the Hall Center Theater, and so AC had been an issue for the music department. IT, we have challenges with Wi-Fi in the residence halls, and so generally have something that comes up about that, and IT will work on that. Athletics had something come up about game etiquette, baseball games. We've tried to really do for those of you who have attended the athletic events, you know that the students have done a great job at supporting their fellow student members, but we had a situation happen at the baseball game that some people from another community thought that our students were doing something and they weren't. And so we talked about those kinds of things. You can see at in the document, you can see the students that participated. We will not put that on the website because of the fact that we try not to put too much out on the website specific to certain students, but we list that out for you so you know what their major is, what they were involved in, so you can see that it's a cross-section of the group that participated. LAMESA was that evening. We generally have the roundtable for LAMESA in the afternoons around 5:30, because that student body, the demographics tend to be a little different, and the students generally may attend at night. And so we had a group that attended that particular roundtable. You can see when you look at that, as far as what we talked about, it's very different from what we discussed at the Big Spring campus one, and it'll be different from the SWID and the San Angelo one. We talked about, again, different things that are specific to that campus. One of the things that had come out of the fall roundtable for our La Mesa campus was their interest in going to the SWID campus. They wanted to be able to tour the SWID campus. So that was something that happened, and so we talked about that. The students have also, sometimes out of the La Mesa roundtable, there's been interest in coming to an event on the Big Spring campus. Monica and team are always great to figure out things students might want to do. And so we, again, those are things that have come out of those meetings that we've had. The students also have participated in community college day in Austin. They really enjoyed that. We talked about that. And then it was also an opportunity when we were talking about the tour of the SWID campus, we were able to talk about deaf culture, what they learned, and it's a good way for us to be able to basically bring our campuses together and everybody to understand that the college district is made up of four campuses and who everybody is. Basically, it's all different. I did try to interject in the roundtables this time, and I tried to ask questions relative to the 8 weeks and how they were feeling about the eight weeks, and we talked about that at the La Mesa campus roundtable, and general reaction, you know, everybody's just kind of going into it, let's see. You know, there's some excitement, there's some that think it's great, some that, well, I don't know yet, you know, so we move into that. Okay, and then you can see this group. We also had one student who had participated in the roundtable, not the roundtable, but the community college day, who was a part of the foster care system. And we talked about that and her opportunity to be able to basically advocate as a young person who grew up in foster care when we were in Austin. And so that was a great experience for her. And I think that our legislators appreciated some of the things that she shared. Those students are also listed for you. You can tell that now that we're on our La Mesa campus, generally everybody's from La Mesa. On the Big Spring campus, you could tell that we had students from lots of different places representing different groups. And so, again, you'll see this pattern as we move through and why the demographics and basically each campus, we say each campus has a culture because of the fact that we're serving different types of students, as well as communities. And so in La Mesa, then we have our La Mesa community. All right, the next roundtable we had was on March 20. I should have started with our SWID one that was March 1st, but anyway, we'll get there. Our San Angelo campus was March 20. And again, you will see the representation of the students that were there for the San Angelo roundtable. Again, interestingly, what happens, most of our roundtables, the pattern that we generally see is that the fall roundtables, we tend to have more in attendance than we do in the spring. And I think that what generally happens, again, the students are, when they begin their journey on campus, sometimes the ones that are at the roundtable, they may be sophomores, but sometimes they're freshmen. Or some of them may have attended more than they've come back. And so we get different participation in the fall and spring. Generally, we have more in the fall, but sometimes that varies. But this particular spring was reflective of that, tended to see the same thing happen. And so a smaller group for our San Angelo group than we would normally have, but again, good representation. And you can see that those students are from different communities, not all San Angelo, but predominantly San Angelo. And then we generally at all four of our roundtables will have student representation from our Student Government Association. Generally, they will always be, someone will be in attendance. And so when you look at the what our students were saying from the San Angelo campus, we talk, generally our San Angelo campus focuses a lot, tends to have a lot of comment that will come up about health professions because of the fact that that's a very strong part of what we do in San Angelo. So generally we may have several students from the that will come from the different programs and they will share different things relative to their programs. We do have we have ground rules that we always share at the beginning of the roundtables. Those are that we limit the roundtables to an hour. That way the students will know that we will not take more than an hour of their time, and if they're finished before an hour, we're finished. We also let them know that as far as I encourage them to give constructive criticism, encourage them to understand that they are a part of the way that Howard College improves and we grow. Let them know that they are the recipients of students ahead of them who have participated in roundtables and pointed things out to us, and so it's a continuous process that's gone on for decades. And so they are also told that some of the things they bring up that we can immediately go to work on them, and perhaps they will see the changes during their time as a Howard College student. But sometimes they will not, because the things they bring up are things that we cannot complete immediately, and that it may take a long time. Sometimes students bring up things that we simply can't do, and we will share that as well. So we just work through with the students, let them know what the ground rules, and then a ground rule that I have also is that they can't talk about people. We try to keep it focused on things that are happening. If there are other avenues for students to express, if they have a concern about a faculty member, a fellow student, administrator, whatever, there are other avenues for them to do that, and that is not the place that we would do that, because those are confidential kinds of matters that would happen. And so, again, as a result of that, they open up, I think, and generally I think they're comfortable, and they will share how they're feeling about certain things, and we work through it and listen to them. And what I also mainly try to do is not immediately just start giving them answers, because I think it's important that we just listen to them. If I start giving them answers, then we gobble up time that they need to be able to express themselves. So we let them express concerns that they have, and then we have we always have a scribe, a person taking notes. We have a PowerPoint that we go through very quickly that kind of piques their memory of what we talked about at the last meeting. Try not to spend too much time on it. That came from that was a suggestion from a student, not to spend a lot of time on what we've talked about before. And so we try to, again, focus very quickly on new information so that the students' voices can be captured and we can begin to work on those things. And so that's kind of the way it works. And so then the students, again, begin expressing concerns they have. So, again, what you're seeing today, of course, you had the information from the fall, but this was something that we talked about, that y'all were wanting to, you know, get more information as far as student input, and so wanted to give you a little more background today and a little more detail and spend more time on what the students were saying. And so what you see in this particular forum or roundtable, again, the students They talked about some of the, again, relative to the health professions, but they also brought up child care. On our San Angelo campus, we don't have child care. As you know, we have a different situation in Big Spring based on what happened with donors and that, you know, that kind of background and history. But we do not have that opportunity in San Angelo for our San Angelo students. However, we do try to help the San Angelo students with through Carl Perkins. We have some vouchers that can be used to help students with their child care. But that does come up because we, our San Angelo campus, we do have a lot of students that are parents. And children and child care is very important to them. And we spent some time that day talking about, you know, what if something happened and I don't have child care that day? Can I bring my child? And working through some of the ways that we approach that and helping the students understand how it doesn't affect their financial aid if they're not in attendance, if something happens. And so we worked through some of those kinds of questions. We talked about financial aid. That, again, is something, again, every campus is different, what they will bring up, what their concerns are. And so we did discuss some about VA, the benefits, the veterans benefits. Our San Angelo campus, we have a large number of veterans, and so there's a lot of interest on that campus about veteran services and what we're doing, and so we spent a lot of time visiting about that. We talked about activities. You might think, and some might wonder, do our San Angelo students, you know, what do they do for student activities? And we do try to do some student activities, and they've started trying to incorporate in the student service area some activities on campus. The San Angelo campus is very active in community events and doing things, lots of involvement, and the students are they're involved in that as well. But as far as, again, what those students are interested in and what it's student activities, we try to, at each campus, we try to make sure that we are designing the kinds of activities that would be good for them. And, for example, in San Angelo, we would probably do some family events, and we've done those kinds of things on all of the campuses. Talked about parking and printing. Printing continues to be an issue across the district, and we're continuing to work on that. The cost of printing when students are needing to print things. Again, our health professions programs print a lot of material, and so those students will generally bring up printing. We talked about the 8-week class schedule, and again, varied reaction, some ready for it, excited about it, some have some concerns about it, and so again, we just visited about that. So that's the San Angelo campus. The SWID campus was on March the 1st. And again, what you're going to see with the SWID campus, we have dorms, we have food service, so you're going to see those students bringing up things relative to dorms and food service. And so we visit with those students about those. You can see some of the things that were brought forward by the students. We talk about ways we can respond to that. You also see the students that were in attendance for that particular roundtable. They're from all over the state of Texas, outside of Texas, and what they're majoring in. And so, again, those students present the concerns that they have and how it's going to be different on the SWID campus, and so it's very specific. I talked about grounds and interest in even a safety fence around the campus and gate. And as students are beginning to have more and more concerns about safety and security, those kinds of things are coming up, and so we talk about that. Activity center, generally we talk about things relative to at our gymnasium at the SWID campus. what we have in the area for workout is very small. Always encourage those students to know they can come to the Big Spring campus to work out, but that tends to come up. We talked, there were some instructional things that came up relative to the dental lab program, signage, storage in the student center. So you can see, again, just different kinds of things that are brought up, and then same thing happens, same drill. We get that information, we start working on it, and we will post that up so the students can see. Then the last one was the virtual one, and that one is always held last so that we can capture any of the students they might not have been able to attend one of the on-site ones. And so we do have some of those students that will participate, and then sometimes it's our student, again, that is mainly online. And so what we talk about, we ended up having a SWID student who was unable to participate in the on-campus one, so we talked about some things relative to SWID and our interpreting program, interest in wanting more faculty, some of our positions that we've had at the SWID campus, we have had trouble recruiting or those vacancies through budget changes have not been posted, and so we talked about some of those. We talked about online learning, and again, it just depends on who the students that are participating, and some of the students that participated that night felt like that that there was concerns relative to some of the online learning, and so we talked about some of those things. Again, it depends on who participates. So we had some SWID information that night. We had information relative to dorms on the Big Spring campus. That came back up. The dining halls, Big Spring and SWID. We talked about library services in general, IT in general, financial aid, safety and security. We generally always try to talk about that. Also the 8-week schedule. And so you can see some of the students that participated in that meeting, and it was kind of, again, it varies by the campuses. So that gives you an idea. You can tell it's a very very busy time, and we spend a lot of time on these roundtables. When they happen, quite frankly, I think everybody's kind of like ready for the onslaught, because then after we get the information from the students, then we're sharing that out, and then a lot of people go to work, and there's depending on what's brought up by the students, it's assigned out by the campus leader, and then the people that are responsible for the areas that the students have brought up, they go to work. And we start gathering all that information. Then what happens is the campus leaders then gather that information back in. They then put it in our first draft, so that, again, it's going to be what is going to go up on the website so the students can see. And the students are told in the roundtables that we will post up and that they can go and look and see and what we're working on, and then as I said, we continue working on it. And then when we get back to the students in the fall, even though the same students are not participating, they're still students, they represented that campus, and we report back to that particular group of students, let them know what we worked on. So that's what happens with student roundtable, and anybody have any questions?
Right there. Okay. All right. Next item on the agenda is monitoring purchasing.
Okay. We will have two RFPs. Let me just real quick, let's start with the distance learning rooms. Since that one, if you'll recall, that was the one that you gave us the authority to proceed, and so we continued working on that and we'd given you an update on where we were at the last meeting. But we were able to complete our work, got our questions answered. So, Steve, you want to give
sure.
What happened?
First of all, good afternoon, everybody. We had four responses: TARS Technology, Elite Solution, Howard Tech Solutions and Visionality. And after many discussions back and forth with each of these vendors, we really asked them for, rather than specifically saying what we wanted, we said we want distant learning ones, but we want your assistance and your expertise in telling us the latest and greatest technology and what we could do and all that. Came up with that Torrent Technology would be the best vendor to go with for several reasons. And you can see in the 607-396 price that we ended up with on that. And so time-wise, equipment-wise, expertise-wise,
Well, and actually, we went forward based on the authority given. So we're in motion. So this is informational, and we're hopeful that we don't know exactly with all the technology, everything, and that's been a concern with anything lately. Whenever you order stuff. People just are having the supply chain issues to be a problem.
Yeah. And it is a no-brainer. You all know what they're about, the CARES grant, but it's funded by that grant in June, and so I'm sure most of them be asking for an extension if we can't get over it.
Okay, so that's informational. So then the next one.
Right, and then the other one is the bookstore services. We had three interested parties in that, Texas Book Company, Follett, Higher Education Group, and then Barnes & Noble. Back and forth. But that was allowing them to come in on the East Spring campus and the Financial campus to provide bookstore services. It's really not necessarily how much we're going to extend them, so there's not a cost of their ability and the permission to come in our campus. After much discussion, committee recommendation was to stay with Texas Book, but in some ways, lots of times when we do contracts like that, we do 3 years, and then we do an optional 2 1-year extension. This was to award a 2-year contract, and then reissue another RFP. With everything that's going on campus, with the 8-week classes, with the conversion, we decided that it would be better to stay with them, get through that process, and then look at it at some point in the future after the 2 years. So that's what
Okay, I have a motion to approve this RFP.
So move.
Have a motion to have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. All right. Next item is handbook changes.
All right. This is the month where we bring a slew of changes to you. Amy and Dave have been working on catalog changes for quite some time. And so we'll let Amy start going through these. And if you have any questions, then we can answer them.
I will not read everything. Unless you want me to, I guess I could, but I won't. I will hit the highlights. Tuition and fees. And every year we have to check the state law for our SWID out of non-resident international tuition, and that rate is established by law. And this year it went up a little bit to $470 per hour. Under the building charges, we are recommending going up $100. For our San Angelo campus, to maintain increasing cost and things we need to do.
And let me remind y'all, we talked a little bit about that one last summer as a part of the budget, during the budget time.
And then, gosh, I don't remember what it was, but we now Timely MD is our telehealth service for our students across the district, and we are proposing a $23 per semester fee to help offset that cost moving forward. And then our women board charges, we are recommending approximately $25 increase in the room charge. And this is, if you remember, we're still making payments, so to speak, and so this is to help us keep up with those. And Brenda, my expert boss Brenda, does all the calculations and kind of keeps us up to date on what we need to do to keep that in place. And then the board, the meal plan charge is going up a little bit, and again, Steve is our, he works with them on that contract, and we just, it's based on number of students at each campus, and so that is the rate that the room and board charges will be moving forward for next year. And that takes you through, again, it's outlined for SWID and Big Spring campuses separately in the catalog. And then we move on, the additional fees that are being proposed, and a few they're just increasing. Most of this has to do with just the rising costs in nursing, in one case, if they, you know, we pass the charge on to the student, and just increasing costs on some of that. Again, stop me if there's any questions. Moving on to our success initiative, basically those are just changes to apply to maintain legal to the law to make sure we're in compliance with that. And the success initiative, as well as financial aid. Every year, Candace Maldonado goes through all the new financial aid regulations and makes sure that our catalog is up to date with those changes. I don't remember years if there's not some changes. And that takes you all the way. Okay, one thing we did add in this catalog in page 8 of your catalog changes, credit for prior learning. We're expanding our policies and procedures in this area to allow us the opportunity to award credits for experiential learning. An example, let's say that you, in the EMS world, you have your EMS basic, you've had it for a long time, and you decide you want to continue your studies and become a paramedic. And this policy will allow us to evaluate your, in that case, your license or certification with your basic training, your experience, and then we will have very, strict. We want to make sure, you know, that we hold ourselves accountable by auditing and evaluating things closely, but then go ahead and award you that basic, I think there's two courses in the basic training, where you would not have to retake that at Howard College. That's just one example. To back these policies up will be a manual for credit for prior learning that we exist on other colleges, and that's where we will spell out in detail what a student has to do, what we as a college have to do to make sure that you, you know, and we don't want to just, we will evaluate it very closely before we just award credit, you know, for just anything. But it's also that will allow someone that's worked for many years and had multiple licenses in areas to be able to come back to school and not start over. So I'm excited we're getting that in place. You'll see the different ways. The conversion from CE credit to credit, licensures by experience, articulation agreements, and then there's a whole section as well on our military credit. Mike Himmeter is our district VA. I don't know if it's tactile, but he's the one that works closest with the VA and our veteran status, and he does a great job, and we're just updating our regulations to make sure we're able to award them all the credit that they can get.
And to add to what Amy's saying, also SAC COC is will be following all the guidelines relative to that. They will review what we do, so we're just trying to move forward with what we think is best for our students.
Yes. And then starting on the curriculum changes, these are minor curriculum changes in current programs. Gosh, pages 10 through 13, actually through 14. And then moving on to our new programs that we're excited about, we are starting a hospitality management certificate level 1. We're offering a few classes now, and then we'll continue in summer and throughout the fall. And then we're offering put in place a patient care technician certificate level 1 that will then lead to a health science associate of applied science degree. We're excited about the health science associate of applied science will also offer opportunities for future certificates in the future that will kind of those stackable degrees and plans that you've heard us talk about that will enable us to do other students to do other, have other opportunities, and then also to transfer on student bachelor's degrees in the health science field. So I'm excited about this, those programs. And I did not mention one thing. The hospitality management certificate level one, it actually will feed into our business management certification. And so, and sometimes you'll see, like Dr. Freeman has new program approval forms. Those have to be signed when it's brand new program to our district and not like a certificate that's already, I mean, under a degree that we already have. That's why there's a little difference in those. And then also, we are proposing a health science, associate of science degree that will, a transferable degree to build into our general academic degree. So we're excited about those new programs. And then the rest of the catalog changes are just updates to course descriptions. You know, just a reminder, our course descriptions are prescribed to us by the Workforce Educational Course Manual if they're technical courses, or the Academic Course Guide Manual if they're transfer courses. And, of course, those are all stem out of the Higher Education Coordinating Board. Every year we have to audit and make sure that we're up to speed and date with those changes. Actually, I missed one important thing. The last page, we are proposing two new core curriculum courses. Just a reminder, the core curriculum is the 42 hours that the state has to approve of your basic, what most of us call it, your general education requirements. And by law, they have it transfers in whole to the universities to their bachelor's degrees. That's a very, very short version. But we are proposing you have to get it approved only once a year. We're allowed to make changes to that. So we're proposing the American Minority Studies as a language, philosophy, and culture course, and then the Texas History as an American History course. And these changes go through our academic affairs, our district academic affairs committee, and then go through the cabinet member, and then obviously come to y'all for approval before they are in policy.
And the
also,
other
the calendar is part of that.
Okay? Yeah, the calendar, and of course, on an annual basis, whenever we come forward in April with all of these changes, we're asking for a general affirmation of the catalog of everything that's in there already, and then we just have the changes. So that'll be whenever you get ready to do a motion in a minute, it will need to include that.
Well, taking you all the way back to resident hall costs, this is the typo here on the room board changes for higher college in SWID. From $325 to $675, that's a $350 increase.
That probably has to do with board. Yeah, not the room, because that includes room and board. And as far as how board has gone up, we have had to increase, yes, the board has had to go up because of food costs.
$350?
Yeah, summer one and summer two.
On the summer terms, okay, it's listed differently than normal. In the past, we've had two, we charge $325 and $325. We actually charge $650 for if you stay both summer terms. I should have pointed that out. And we just listed it differently because of the way the summer terms have 9 weeks.
Okay.
You'll still have a summer one and summer two.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yes, no problem. Makes sense now. I couldn't see a $350 raise.
Yeah.
Okay. And the calendar.
Yeah.
This just in last meeting, I talked about the 8-week format, but this shows you know, the fall, December mini, spring, May mini, and summer, and how those specific terms within the long semester will lay out for next year that we're proposing.
Okay.
Any questions?
Thank you very much. Do I have a motion to approve handbook catalog changes? Do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
Aye.
Thank you. All in favor. Motion passes. Thank you. Faculty contracts.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
I need to take you back to, those are the catalog changes, but on the handbook changes, we also need to have some changes relative to what we pay for softball, baseball, game support pay. That would be a part of the employee handbook, and that's also included in your documents.
Yeah, I thought that was included in the motion. In the...
Oh, was it?
Yes. Okay. I asked for a handbook catalog
okay.
changes.
All right.
And that was approved.
Okay. Okay.
Faculty contract.
Okay. On an annual basis, in April, we bring forward the faculty that are being recommended for the next year on the different campuses, and this list represents the individuals that have been recommended, and so we're asking for your approval.
Okay. Have any questions or arguments about who's going to be hired?
Have you found that you've had a certain amount of attrition due to the change to 8 weeks?
You mean in faculty? Not yet. No, I mean, as far as people, are you
I'm deciding to leave Howard College.
No. I mean, not at this point.
I've heard some rumblings and grumblings, sure. And so I was just wondering if we had actually had people, if any of that was actionable at this point.
What was the comment? I missed it.
He was wondering if with our faculty, if we're having any faculty that are choosing basically not to return due to the fact of the 8 week conversion.
Okay.
And so I think that was where
okay.
the question was coming from. And I said not, you know, I was aware of, and I mean, not at this point. That's why I said not at this point. But y'all. I think yeah. There's just different feelings about the 8 weeks.
I just was trying to see if what I was hearing was matching reality or it was just a little bit of grumbling.
Sure. Sure. It's change, and it's, you know, without a doubt, there's work that goes along with it, and it's just, again, it's a different approach. But at the same time, we've had 8 week courses actually for a while. But when you transition to where you're mainly having 8 weeks and less of the 16 week, it is a change. But hopefully, we're going to be able to transition and. You know, everybody's going to embrace, and we're going to see the results that we hope that we're going to see. We have, from all the other colleges that we have talked with, there has been great success for the students. So we're hoping that's what we're going to see.
I think, too, like I had to grasp in my mind, I was like, okay, so four classes over 16 weeks. Now you're only doing two over eight, and it's like your brain, I don't know. Once I understood that concept, I'm like, that's kind of cool, because now your brain's not focused on four classes, it's focused on two
right.
for a short amount of time. I feel like once they actually do it, it'll take a lot of that, like, reservation away.
Yeah. Anytime there's change, it is difficult, you know, and just embracing, and we're having to change up processes and all of that. Actually, in some ways, because like in the past, we've had 5 week summer sessions and we're going to have an 8 week. And so some of the courses that were 5 weeks are going to be, they're going to be in 8 weeks. And so, you know, it's just going to vary by the course. And I know that there's been effort to try to look at each of the courses, if faculty had concerns that we needed to, you know, that might not be an appropriate course for an 8 week format, and so that's also been reviewed and looked at. So anyway, but so far, no, that has not happened.
Okay. All right. I have a motion to approve the faculty contracts.
So moved.
Have a motion. Have a second.
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. Gary, faculty and retirement resolution.
All right. Again, this time of year, generally we start hearing of individuals that are going to retire, and so we do have two resolutions that we're bringing forward to you today. Kirk Davidson, who has served since 2007, is retiring. He's an assistant professor right now he's doing speech, but he's done drama in the past, and so he is going to be retiring, and we're certainly going to miss him. And then we have another individual that is retiring who is actually not a faculty member at this point in time, but he would tell you that he is a faculty member in his heart, and that happens to be Danny Campbell. And so we just thought it was appropriate for a resolution to be passed in honor of Danny on his retirement, and because he will tell you that he's a faculty member. He's not he serves it as provost, but he loves his what he does in the world of teaching. And so both of those resolutions are recommended to you, and we have them ready, and we will present them at the appropriate time. Need your approval for
Thank
those.
Thank you. We're going to miss you, Danny. All right. I need a motion to approve resolutions.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Thank you.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. Professor, I never can pronounce that word.
Emeritus.
Emeritus. Nominations.
All right. So that's something else that happens this time of year. And, again, the faculty, this is something that the faculty discuss, and every campus can have a professor emeritus. And sometimes there is someone to nominate, and sometimes there's not, depending on how many retirements we've had and that kind of thing. And this year, the Big Spring campus has received three letters and shared those with you. Relative to Amber Buskey being named the Professor Emeritus for the Big Spring campus. To be considered, an individual has to have completed 20 years of service for the district, be retired, and be nominated by three faculty members, and she certainly met those criteria. And so we recommend recommend Amber Buskey as the Professor Emeritus for the Big Spring campus.
Okay. Do I have a motion to approve?
Can I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
This was all on here, and I read this when it came out. Were there any other nominations, just out of curiosity?
No. No. Yes, she was the only one. In fact, we didn't have that all happen, goodness, Thursday, Friday, kind of at the last minute when we got those. And so, yes, we did not have anybody else from any campus.
Okay. Okay. Need a motion to approve this.
So moved.
Have a motion to have a second?
Second.
Have a second. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Thank you very much. Motion passes. All right. Construction renovation projects. Library music building.
Okay.
Renovation.
Terry?
Terry, my man.
Well, we're in the... We're in the home stretch on both buildings. Projects like this, you always hit questions toward the end, and we're hitting a couple of those. The original time frame was 280 days. I don't know if we're going to quite make that because of material delays and things that we've run into. But, for example, we've got a request in from the library and IT group that they wanted more electrical outlets than were originally in the building. We've asked for pricing on that in the library and also in the library. There's a question about ductwork insulation. And so we're working through those things in both buildings. Interior painting is being done, so we've got interior finishes going. The ceiling in the large room in the library is complete. The ceiling grid and the outlying areas where we're going to have lay-in ceiling grid up. We don't have light fixtures in yet or tile, but the grid is ready for that. Flooring will probably supposedly start tomorrow. The flooring company, which is out of Lubbock, will begin with doing tile work in the bathrooms in both buildings, and then we'll follow with the other flooring materials, various flooring materials in different areas. Music building, the HVAC company is in the process of getting ductwork installed, and the heating and cooling rooftop units have not been received yet, but they should be here within a reasonably short period of time. I don't know if it'll be a week or maybe 10 days. We expect to have them on campus, and so those things will be completed. And I think once the flooring starts going in, I think the buildings are going to look a whole lot more complete than they do right now with just the concrete floor. So music building, as you know, all the windows are in, the doors, the new doors are in the process of being framed and put in. I was told this morning that the windows for the library actually came in late last week. So we believe the windows will be put in as soon as that window contractor gets his crew over here to fill up. So we're making progress, working through a few issues, but I think I was doing the mental math on it before I stepped up to the podium just now. And I think our 280 days would probably be early June, but I don't know that we're going to climb that down yet. So any questions?
Thank you. All right, thanks, field preparation for ESPN games.
Yes, this Saturday we are going to have the opportunity to have ESPN Plus at both our baseball and softball games. And so that, as you know, has all come down probably definitively in the last 2.5 weeks. The other, we had we knew that they were considering us, but the other colleges that are participating have to also approve. And so it's a process that takes a while for everybody to make agreement on it. And so in the last 2.5 weeks, we've been in high gear, and I thought it would be good for Fabian and Terry to talk about a little bit about what they're doing. We've got a lot of people that are working quick to get things ready. So you guys want to share some of that?
Terry's not on the sound signal.
I haven't done much except work on some of the sound equipment at baseball, and possibly either today or tomorrow, maybe at softball. And, that's really pretty much the extent of what I've done. Peyton's got the line shift in his crews.
Yeah, cleaning up both press boxes. Baseball press box, we actually have a crew right now. They're in there painting the offices, repairing flooring. Our grounds guys, our maintenance guys, electricians, everybody's going out doing something, from pressure washing buildings, painting. Grounds guys planting flowers, cleaning things up. We've rented an aerial lift, things that have been requested by ESPN. There will be an aerial lift behind center field, the baseball field. Softball will have some scaffolding. But there's going to be a total of four cameras, right, Cindy? One at home, one on top of each dugout and one behind center field. So we're making all the preparations that those folks need. Fernando and Robert, they installed some outlets at both scoreboards, so that way they can run all their extension cords and not have noisy generators running back there. So lots and lots of work going on.
Lots of activity.
Yep.
Lots of, so I wanted y'all to be aware of what these folks are doing, and then Cindy, what she's doing as far as her coordination with ESPN Plus, and then Eric and his team are working on all of the connections that we have to support what ESPN Plus needs. So it's quite the effort, and I just wanted everybody to know these folks are, everybody's working really, really hard. These folks are, they're a lot of fun. You know, just listening to them and how they do things, we're learning a lot, but they put us to work, and there's a lot to do, but we benefit. It's going to be fun to see how they actually do a game, a baseball, softball game on ESPN+. And so we're trying to make sure that we present well, and also to go along with that, with what you all approved earlier about John Weeks and the naming of the press box after John on Saturday prior to the game. The baseball game begins at 12 and the softball games begin at 1. So we'll have a little bit of difference as far as game time. They pretty well tell us what we're going to do and how we're going to, when we start and how things are going to happen. But we are going to have an event, a celebration relative to John at 10:30 on Saturday morning so that we can get the word out about the press box and what's happening relative to John. But what happens, and I wanted these folks to share some of this because I also want you, as you begin to see, as we move into budget time, it helps you when you have scenarios like this happen. We need to work on that. We need to work on that. And so there are some things we need to work on. And so you will begin to see some of that coming forward. We've done some temporary work on sound, but that's some other effort that we need to do relative to the softball and baseball fields. So thank you, guys. I just wanted you to lay the groundwork.
Thanks, Beth.
Have we, like, sent invitations to the local high school, like, teams to have them there to see if they could come?
We have not. We are just, as far as the publicity with all this, again, it's kind of all, you know, it's an onslaught all of a sudden. And so, anyway, so I know that Cindy's beginning to get stuff out, but a specific invite to a baseball team, softball team. I don't know that we've gone down that path.
We've not. We haven't done that yet. We can.
Yeah.
It would be good to have as many people there as possible.
Absolutely.
I'm even thinking like Oklahoma Softball League, baseball, like the Little League teams, it would be fun to have them out there.
Absolutely.
Do we have like a ceremonial first pitch? Do we have anything like that?
I asked Jake about that specifically for baseball because of the John Weeks situation. And you have to understand, with baseball and softball, there's formality about how you do these things. And so he was concerned specifically when we were talking about baseball with the time that they allow us and how, again, game time, what we have to be doing with ESPN and how we would be able to do all that. So that's a long answer to your question.
Okay.
No, but we talked about it.
Okay.
Yeah, but yeah, it was a concern that we wouldn't be able to begin when they want to start and how you have to do it. And anyway.
We have an opportunity, like if we knew the Oklahoma softball team was going to be there, we have a little folder that we put information in there for the announcers because they won't recognize them during
right.
the game. But if we know they are going to be in attendance, we can put information in the folder for the announcers that, you know, members of the Oklahoma softball program, undefeated season, heading to success, whatever. We just put a lot of local interest information in there if we know that these things are going to be happening. And then if they use it, they use it. If they don't, they don't.
So that's what...
They did not use everything we gave them in basketball.
Yeah. So that's what Cindy, she basically provides all their, we call it the color, you know, for the show. And then, as she said, they'll use what they want, but we try to get as much as we can in about history relative to the college, and we're able to put some of our commercials are in, and we have commercials that cover the entire district. In particular, we wanted to take the opportunity to get SWID on the national stage, and so we took advantage of that during the basketball games. And, you know, trying to, again, just it's an opportunity to, we have a national stage to get our name out there. And so, again, I know Cindy's doing that. They will film record the ceremony at 10:30. And so they may or may not use some of that. We don't know how what they'll do. They're pretty much on their own, but we try to give them as much as we can. But that's a great idea. And then if we could get some of those teams here, I think what Kahoma softball is undefeated right now, or they're in first or something.
Who, Kahoma?
Yeah, Kahoma softball.
Yeah, I think they play tomorrow. So I'm not sure. Like, I don't know.
Yeah,
like schedule wise, but.
A lot of
I can reach out to the principal if you want me to, or David Williams. I mean, whatever you need.
Thank you. Yeah, we can follow up on that and check it out.
We seem to be successful with ESPN Plus lately.
Well, we wanted to be, and that was what we when they were here for the basketball, we wanted to do a really good job so they would be interested in coming back. And in fact, they actually gave us several opportunities to do the ESPN games, but the time and effort that we needed to have to get ready, and then we're also trying to make sure that we're treating all of our teams, you know, trying to take care of everybody, and so but that was our goal, to make sure that we did a great job at basketball, so they would want to come back for baseball and softball. So we're very excited about it. Okay.
All right. Thank you, guys. Okay. Student information project implementation.
Eric's on the line, and then we have Brian and Amy here, so they can be the on-site people.
Eric may be working while he's listening to the board meeting.
Yeah.
In time, they have been... I'll say enough about all the departments, and they've been working probably around the clock getting ready. This morning we were on a call with Tracy Dale, our person, and he will be on the Big Spring campus all week starting tomorrow morning. And then I forgot her name. Another lady, Jamie, will be in San Angelo on campus. She's going to work side by side with Candace because her expertise is financial aid. And so here we go. Registration starts tomorrow, and our crew, I think we're ready. Right, Eric?
It's getting there. there's been a lot of work going into fixing last-minute data changes and getting prepared for enrollment the best we can, and then getting student portals, faculty portals, public course offering listings and things like that to be as uniform as possible, displaying the same information, trying to make kind of a smooth transition to from kind of the old display of how information came across to students to trying to make that transition as smooth as possible. And I know Cindy and Mick have been working on marketing and getting some transition pages set up, and Caitlin Brosh in San Angelo has been working on trying to get some how-to videos set up. And so, yeah, it's been a busy last 7-14 days for sure. So,
yeah.
We're deciding that we're doing a staggered registration where those with the most hours can register first, and that will help. Hopefully, and we probably haven't advertised registration as much as we may have in the past at this early, and that may help just so we can get a few little at a time maybe in there to test the waters. The advisors are ready to work with the students
one-on-one, and so tomorrow will just be a day of patience, and here we go.
And we're not finished. You know, this is just
this is
registration, but we wanted to be far enough along that we could do fall registration in April, and so this will be an opportunity for us to find some of the bugs and then keep working on improving. But everybody's been working really hard. I cannot applaud everybody enough. There's so much activity going on. We have a lot of people at Howard College that are working very hard right now. Our faculty are working on Blackboard Ultra. That takes a lot of their time and effort. They're working on conversion to the 8 weeks. We're also changing our student information system. So there's a lot happening. It's all going to be positive when we get on the other side. We just have to work through it. Eric, anything else?
No. I think, like you said, it's not over. We were trying to get to a point where everyone felt comfortable getting, to start processing students. And so this is just pre-registration. There's still, like you said, a mountain of work to get to, getting aid and bills and payments some of those things were hard to do until you start getting a lot of information this is us stepping into the live system.
As Eric said in one of the Zoom calls the other day that there's a century of work to do, so there is a lot of work to do, but we're getting there. Everybody's doing a tremendous job. Brian, did you want to say anything?
I think for the most part, Dave has covered everything. We're starting with CAMS right now, but Poise is still living on in the spring and for summer, so faculty and staff and students are all going to be transitioning simultaneously. So I think, Cindy's been very good about getting that information out to our students that if you have information about spring or summer, you're still kind of in our old system. But if you're registering for fall, CAMS is taking over then. So it's going to be a back and forth with all that right now as we finish out these last terms of the academic year. But I think when we get to CAMS, it'll be really smooth and helping with our students transition over.
At the same time, some of those instructions also include information specific to the 8-week classes or semesters, and people need to be advised. And so we're working through. There are a lot of different changes that are happening, but we questioned whether at one point is this all this happening all at once, but we think it's probably the best thing, because we are being able to design everything the way it needs to be designed as we're working with 3D Technologies, who have been great. And as Amy said, they will be here. Do you want to share what 3D Technology said to you about Eric?
Well, since he's not here, yes, that would be good.
Okay.
So probably a few meetings back, and Eric, I don't even know if you were on that call or if you picked up on it, but Tracy Dale, he bragged and said this is the smoothest, I believe he used the word, this is the smoothest and the fastest conversion as far as getting the data from the POIS to the CAM that he's ever seen. And he bragged in our IT department, Eric being obviously the leader of that, Devin, Devin DeBoer is our, he's the newest IT person hired 1 year ago, maybe?
2 years, maybe probably.
2 years ago, yeah. So anyway, so Tracy Bragg couldn't say enough about how well our IT department has worked with them on this conversion.
We just thought you maybe deserve to hear that, Eric and team.
Thank you. Yeah, everybody's been working hard, and Brian too has really stepped in and helped with degree audit and kind of help play like an in-between role with users. So, yeah, thank you. But everybody's been doing a good job.
We know everybody's worn out, but you can't get worn out yet because we're still climbing the mountain, but we're getting there. Okay, thank y'all. Everybody's been super.
All right. President's report.
Okay, let me take y'all to the end.
Yes, ma'am, please.
Okay, as far as your upcoming activities, it's the time of year that it gets very busy with things that you're going to be involved in relative to different activities. And so coming up in the next few weeks, you will have something we mentioned this weekend, but this week we have the night of sophomore theater that will be showing out, is what it's called, a night of sophomore theater, choir department. That will be Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 7:30, and I encourage you to take in one of those if you can. Again, we're finishing up the spring semester with athletic events. We've already talked about some of those. We will have an all-district meeting on Friday, the Zoom, 9 o'clock, be giving everybody an update on what's happening legislatively. We also, this weekend, are excited that Highland Council for the Deaf is going to be putting on a weekend activity, the 28th through the 30th, so we're working with them on that, and we will have the pinning of our IT students, ITP students, as a part of that, and a special performance by Justin Perez, who is well known in the deaf community for his storytelling. And so that in the deaf culture, that is a great skill, and performers that get to that level are revered, and so he obviously is very good. We begin finals. And the finals for the Big Spring, La Mesa, and San Angelo campus will start on the 3rd and the 4th. We'll celebrate Danny's retirement. We're not celebrating it, but we will recognize Danny, and we will celebrate for him on the 4th. And you're invited to that at 2 o'clock. Then we move to the next week, and we finish up finals and on Monday and Tuesday for the Big Spring, La Mesa, and San Angelo campus, and the SWID campus starts finals, and we do that the 8th through the 11th. Thursday is San Angelo Day, and we have all the pinning ceremonies, and we have graduation, and so that's a full day in San Angelo, and we'll be working with those of you who are going to be attending that. Your graduation robe should be in very soon, and so we're excited about those. On Friday will be the graduation ceremonies for the Big Spring, La Mesa, and SWID campuses. We have SWID at 10 o'clock, pinning ceremonies in the afternoon, graduation ceremony for Big Spring and La Mesa in the evening at 7. Excuse me. Your next board meeting will be on the 22nd of May. Hard to believe. So that's your...
Can I just interject something? Last year, after the graduation and so forth, because I think I was the only one on the board that went to the pinnings, and I was here at Big Spring. And hopefully this year I can also go to La Mesa, to San Angelo. I really would urge other board members to try to do that. I mean, they get up, they thank the board, and hopefully someone from the board at least is there to, you know, even though we don't stand up and make a big deal of it particularly, but, you know, they go to the trouble of honoring us with that, and I think it's important that the board, I mean, our health sciences are so highly regarded, I think it's important that we be there.
Sure.
That we're visible a little bit,
right,
and that those students who are being pinned are aware that we're there.
Right. And I would say what also has happened, because the board, y'all have been great about all of that through the years, but frankly, during the pandemic, we started uninviting you. And so we're literally, I never thought I'd get to a point where we'd be saying, we don't want you to come. And but we're now, things are beginning to get back to normal. And so, so yes, people always appreciate y'all being there. Okay, continuing on, recognition. Thank you. I don't know why. Thank you. All right. Always so proud to be able to point out success of our different, it may be a faculty member or staff member or student, but this particular month want to give recognition to Terry Nix. She was recognized by the, she's our in our business division, has served in various different roles as dean and faculty through her years at Howard College, and she's actually she served in a lot of different roles at Howard College, but she has been recognized by the Texas Association of College Technical Educators, TACTE, with the 2023 Lyndall Grigsby Leadership Award for outstanding leadership and commitment in career and technical education, and that was presented on March 30, and I believe that there have only been five of these in the state of Texas, and the first one was to Lyndall Grigsby. So we're very proud that Terry was recognized, and I know we showed some of that information to you as far as pictures, but outstanding opportunity for Terry to receive the recognition she's due. She does a great job of keeping us informed as an institution as well. We also, Amy had said something earlier about Mike Hemeter, and Mike, he is our veterans guy for the district. We have other individuals working with him, but he takes the leadership role, and he has taken it very seriously. In fact, our San Angelo campus has, again, done a super job of really focusing on veterans for several years. With Goodfellow there, we have a lot of people in the community, and so it gives us the opportunity to work very close with veterans. Not that we don't have veterans in our other communities as well. But as a result of all their work, and, you know, we had mentioned that we were recognized back a couple of months ago for being a military-friendly school, but we actually ranked, ended up getting information that we were ranked number one as for the 2023-2024 military-friendly school designation for small community colleges nationwide. So we're very, very proud of that, and Mike Hemeter deserves a lot of credit for that. And so I wanted to bring that to your attention because it might be confusing because we had talked to you earlier a couple of months ago about that, but we got this additional information to single this out further. We also have a men's basketball student who, Trey Fort, who was recognized as a second-team All-American, so we're very proud of him. And wanted to share that with you. And what happens, since the last board meeting, we've had two of our Hawk women's basketball players sign for the next level. Gosha and Ann Mary are both moving on. Gosha is going to, to Tarleton, and Ann Mary will be going to Colorado State. So we're proud of them, and we're going to be having more of that as students are making choices and being selected to be able to move on. I believe that's all of the recognitions. Now, moving into legislative and general updates. That we have a very busy session, probably more activity going on right now with higher ed than we've had in a very, very long time. And the community colleges are a big part of what's happening relative to the complete overhaul of our funding. As chaired before, as far as the structure of the funding pattern, it is flying through. We have a lot of support. House Bill went right through. Senate is scheduled to look at it next. Everything's moving very, very well as far as the structure of it, of the overall change. And as I mentioned earlier, when Brian was making his comments about the data summit, we're going to be paying more and more attention to data and how we complete. That's one of the reasons, like, this 8-week has really been on our radar as far as paying attention to that, because of what is happening, the success that people at the other institutions are seeing with students in 8-week classes, how they're completing, how they're graduating with credentials, they're on time. It's been very successful. And so we've been trying to pull all these things together, what we're doing with the Texas Success Center, with the different activities we're doing with Pathways. Again, there's this vision that Amy and group and everybody's been working on to prepare us for these days. And so we've been seeing this coming for several years. And then when in the last legislative session, when they made the decision to do the commission, then it was becoming reality. They are finally getting serious, really about looking at community college funding. So that is going great, moving right along. Our challenge at this point in time is that as far as being able to know exactly what we have in funding and how it's going to be allocated, because there's so much change, everybody's still working on it. And there's just a lot of detail. The coordinating board has shared information with us relative to what our amounts would look like, but unfortunately, what they have given us has some data pieces that are included in the total amount, and so it's hard for us to do an apple-to-apple comparison to be able to say this is what our allocation is as compared to what we had in previous biennia for community college funding. So that is being worked on. It could be still several weeks before we get that information. And the community college presidents were meeting. We're talking. You know, we're having all these different meetings, talking about it. I had the commissioner on. Everybody's working as fast as they can. At the same time, I mentioned to you last month that there was going to be a committee that was going to be formed, and it will actually take the place of the formula funding committee that's been around for a long time. And the formula funding committee is composed of different community college people that work on recommendations that are going to go to the coordinating board, and then the coordinating board then makes a presentation to the legislature as far as what they accept that comes from the formula committee. So what is happening is this new committee that has been put in place that I mentioned that Brenda has been asked and is going to serve on. They had their first organizational meeting last Wednesday. Basically what they're doing at this point in time is saying it's going to be a fast ride. And Brenda was basically, they came up with they're gonna start meeting. Brenda, you want to share? I know I'm putting you on the spot, but do you want to share? Y'all are going to be meeting like
every other week, starting May 17th.
And then and you're yeah, and what they're going to be doing? They're going to be looking at there's a rulemaking period that goes on for when legislation is passed. Then the coordinating board starts working on rulemaking relative to what the legislature determines or puts into law. Normally that's a more drawn-out process. This is going to be fast, and basically they're being told get it done by July. And so there's going to be a lot of activity that's going on. We're being told as community college presidents, we're going to be, there will be meetings going on. Of course, obviously, we've got an inside track. that we'll be able to work with Brenda, and she'll be representing a good portion of what rural colleges are going to struggle with, and so the group is made up of individuals from some of the larger schools, mainly the large schools, and some suburban. Really, I would say you represent the rural college, a small college, and so Brenda will do a great job representing the rural colleges. And so we, by the time we get to the May meeting, board meeting, and you know, obviously I will be letting you all know if we start getting information. We have the community college presidents, we have our meeting Wednesday, but we're going to be spending a lot of time just looking at what bills are being looked at right now and are worked on and how they're advancing through both either the House, Senate, where they're at. We are at April the 24th, and of course the session ends on right on Memorial Day. I believe that's on May 29th is Sinai Day, and so we basically have about a month. And so in a month's time, they will complete as far as the legislation will go through. I do not anticipate a problem with the community college funding pattern legislation getting through as far as the House and the Senate, as far as the budget bills. The money, the extra money for the community colleges is included in a rider. We have information right now that is basically showing us what our numbers would look like based on the old way. And some of the recommendations that had come out of the formula committee prior to the commission working. But we always knew that once the commission completed that everything would be kind of up in the air. And so it is up in the air. And so everybody is working, asking for us to get through that. The pattern, the funding pattern will have metrics in it that will include a lot of the things that Brian has talked about multiple times relative to whenever he's making reports, relative to completion, how we're doing in certain areas. And so there will be metrics that will be a part of the formula. And then there are weights associated with that. We don't know what those weights are yet. And so we're waiting to get more detail from the coordinating board so that we can begin to understand how that works. And Brenda and group will be working through some of that. So there's just a lot of activity that's going to happen between now and the fall. So when we get to this summer, when we have your workshop and we're working through the budget, and literally some of this is going to be happening for the next few weeks. And so we will... Obviously, if we get information, we'll be sharing it. As far as tuition, you might have noticed today that we didn't say anything about tuition today. The only tuition that we brought up was the SWID tuition, and that's required by law. Whatever the coordinating board determines that will be a tuition increase for universities applies to SWID. So that's something that, again, that's basically just a reaffirmation of what the coordinating board tells us. But we felt it was premature for doing anything on tuition quite yet because we needed to know exactly how things are going to play out relative to our funding. So we will continue to work on that and then share information as time goes on. I believe that's everything that I would share at this point in time. I could go into a lot of detail on different bills. I don't know that you would want me to do that. We are fast and furiously trying to get this semester finished and get our students graduated and preparing for the next academic year. So, any questions? Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Okay. Board change, so that boils down to me. I don't have anything to report. So, by the authority granted by the governor of Texas, this meeting is adjourned.
Thank you. Okay, I'm going to hang up.
See? We're sorry. Your conference is ending now. Please hang up.